And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 275, coming at you on a Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, depends on when you listen to the show, to talk Bloom boards over the final 3 weeks of the season. So things got creative this evening. Can't wait to break this one down. We'll talk some news and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
Doing well. Yeah, we are getting creative here in mid-September with a show title called Who's Starting But Not Playing. That's like the most confusing thing that we could come up with. Maybe it'll add some intrigue. People will listen for just out of curiosity alone. But I'm doing good, man. I am excited for the future of our podcast. So yes, we got some really good stuff coming down the pipe. I know we've got 2.5 weeks left of the season, but we will be heading full steam into some new stuff once we're done with the season. So more to come on that. But yeah, just stoked for what we're doing.
Yeah, 2026 will be here before you know it, and we have a lot of things coming up for 2026. And one of the first things is First Pitch Arizona, Ryan. We are less than 2 months away, is the way I look at this one when it comes to FPAS. Basically, 7 weeks at this point.
Yep.
I believe there's a price change coming up pretty soon that you're going to let people go on. The original room blocks have sold out, so they have a new set of room blocks. This is going to be a big one this year, folks. It's pretty crazy. So before I completely butcher the entire spiel, I'll throw it your direction.
Yeah, it's on track, or probably already is, the biggest First Pitch Arizona ever, to the point where, yes, we sold out the host hotel, and there is now a room block literally next door. It's actually like the same.
They connected, basically. Yeah,
they're connected, yeah. So don't let that deter you.
You're actually closer to the stadium.
You are actually closer, exactly. We have to walk past the courtyard at Marriott to get to the stadium, so... yes, there is a price, and this is the last kind of price discount for First Pitch Arizona. If you're on the fence, go check it out over at baseballhq.com. We tweeted out the program schedule is already up, not like everything, but the meat and juice of it. So we are featured on there a couple times, which is super freaking cool on the main stage. So we're excited for that. And then golf, November 6th, Thursday, we got actually another new sign up today. So we're up to five full groups.
Drop the headline there with me. Didn't tell me that one.
Didn't even tell you that one. So we're up to five full groups, hoping to fill it out with seven. That'll be Thursday to kind of kick things off. And yeah, man, less than 2 months. Actually, 2 months from today will be like one of the most depressing days of the year, because we're flying back to reality after First Pitch Arizona with headaches.
Southwest put 50% off tickets. I almost said I'm gonna stay overnight and come back Monday morning. No, I almost did that already.
The Fall Stars game is Sunday. Exactly. Like there's reason to do so.
I thought about it, but I'm like, I should probably just get home, get back to reality. But it was very tempting, because it was nice last year. That was one of the only perks of, we missed the early start because of Halloween. We golfed Sunday, though, so we stayed Sunday night for the first time in forever. Like, I've never stayed Sunday night, and there's just something nice about that, not having to worry about it. But, it is what it is.
I did not really think about staying Sunday night. that topic with the missus. So.
Yeah, you have other things.
Wednesday to Monday.
You just went on a 3-day football trip. Last year, you went to the Masters. I think you're pretty much, we're going to go to Vegas again this year unless something crazy happens. You're pretty much maxing out your leash, I think, on this one.
I've maxed my allotment for the year.
And I guess, in my book on that. But looking forward to it. The main stage twice will be pretty sweet. So, if you have any questions, let us know. We rave about it for a reason. It's pretty awesome. We do not get paid to rave about it. That's all I'm going to say is we love it because it's pretty darn awesome. And we're looking forward to it, and hope you guys can make it. And as Ryan says in tweets and another factors, if you're new to FPAS, you want to come hang out, one of us will get you a drink and we could chill and have a good time. So it's a very welcoming deal. Come check it out. All right. A little bit of news and notes, Ryan, before we get to this wonderful, are they playing or not situation. Kyle Tucker to the IL with a calf injury. He had missed 5 straight games. They said yesterday that he was eligible to come off the bench if needed. Yeah, so much for that. He goes on the IL. They're still saying it should be a minimal stint. We'll see. Moises Ballesteros back up with the big club, but that doesn't do anything for me. It's just, you think they would have called up like Owen Cassie or something to play the outfield? No. So really weird situation with Tucker back down.
It is. I think so. The big playing time improver, if that's the right word, is Willy Castro, the mascot.
Yes,
he is, basically playing every day now. And I think Will with Kyle Tucker out. And I think that's actually kind of huge for as many positions as Willy Castro qualifies at. I know I have him in a bunch of draft and holds. And right now, when you can barely field the lineup, that's nice to have. So Willy Castro, if you need some speed, if you just need someone who plays a bunch of spots, I think that's actually a semi-decent grab. Somewhat of a failed mascot pick for 2025. We will own up to that. But I still think could do some things while Tucker is out. Do you think Tucker is a drop? Because the IL is retroactive to September 7th. If we take the Cubs at their word, it's the 17th. That is like 8 or 9 days left of Kyle Tucker. I think I would hold and try and keep Tucker and somewhat trust what the Cubs are saying.
I'm holding if I can. Yes, I know it's a really you're grasping at straws here, but he was actually starting to swing it really well before he got hurt here.
Yes,
and obviously that could completely disappear by going on the IL. But the fact that they're saying this shouldn't be a long-term thing, hopefully, I'm gonna roll the dice there and see, because that last week of the season, you're going to be streaming whoever has a pulse. Well, folks, he might have a pulse, and I think his pulse should be better than most you're going to find out there. So, yeah, I would hold if you can, because it could turn into like Adelis Garcia, and I'm not comparing the two players, but like just went on the IL. He's going to be back this weekend. Like, you could have held him if you really needed to. I dropped him into some, kept him in others. Now, not the same player, of course, but if he comes back that quick, that does have some legs to it.
Yep, absolutely. Agree. Any sign of a setback, he's gone, but
definitely, yeah. Definitely. All right. Sorry. Bo Bichette heads to the IL with a knee sprain. He hurt it, and then they had x-rays, and he came back and played after the rain delay. And you're thinking, okay, he's good. Hasn't seen the field since then, which is quite a shame. I haven't seen an actual timetable on this, but I'm thinking knee sprain, all the Blue Jays people are like devastated. So it makes me feel like this is a few weeks, like season's over. Hope he's back for the playoff situation. That's kind of how I'm reading this one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I think that if there's any chance the Jays can get Bichette back, even for the regular season, I mean, they are winning the AL East, but it's a three game lead on the Yankees, 3.5 on the Red Sox. At least as we record, I think the Red Sox are still playing, but, that they don't have it locked up. So if they can get Bichette back at all, they will do it. Freaking Discord, man. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable, the Discord tonight. Just cheering the return of Ernie Clement, who has been the shortstop, the fill-in shortstop. There's that smirk on your face, Bubba. Ernie Clement is back. Ernie Clement, and as I pointed out to our wonderful Patreon subscribers and Discord members, that No one cares. Ernie Clement has a .274 on base percentage in the second half. Like, that is horrendous, but no one cares. Everyone loves Ernie Clement.
Yep. And the Blue Jays did say he's going to be the primary shortstop while Bichette is out. IKF might get a little run there. Andres Jimenez is at second. They want to keep IKF kind of as a utility player. So yeah, it's Ernie Clement's world, and Ryan's just going to have to live in it right about now. That's kind of how it's going.
Yeah, so, and honestly, I shouldn't say it pains me to say this, but Clement is a nice grab, especially if you're bunching batting average. I don't think the power is going to be there. It's a 2% barrel rate, but
power is never the thing, Ryan.
I mean, neither was stolen bases. Neither was it really is anything the thing. But a common theme, and we will talk about this in our Bloomboard segment when we get to it. It's just like, with 2 weeks left in the season, you need guys who are going to play every day. Like, the best hitters can go in a slump, and Aaron Judge could do nothing for two weeks, and Ernie Clement could hit 4 home runs. You just don't know. So you need to bank on the one thing we do know, and that is playing time. Ernie Clement's going to have it while Bichette is out.
Yep, most definitely. All right, we got a good one here. Dustin May, he heads to the IL for the Boston Red Sox with elbow neuritis. They're calling it just like an elbow strain, but the MRI showed no structural damage, but he'll have to work his way back. He says he'll be back before the end of the season. We know how that goes. We saw Connelly Early get called up to strike out 11 over 5 innings against the A's in Sacramento on Tuesday. Any thoughts on this? Obviously, there's moving parts. Tolley's pitching on Wednesday. Kyle Harrison's supposed to piggyback. There's a lot of pieces in play in Boston right now.
A lot of pieces in play. I mean, I know very little about Connolly early. Did see a little bit of his start tonight and just kind of scouting the stat line here, but very impressive stuff from early across Double A and Triple A. Pretty much a 22% strikeout minus walk, which is good. Tons of missed bats. Ground ball rate. He's a ground ball guy. So that's a quick way to get to my heart. 51% ground ball rate for Connolly early. So pitched well tonight, which means you would think he gets another turn in the rotation. So Connolly early is a priority, assuming he sticks in the rotation. I have no reason to believe he will not. Did the Giants just win?
Yes.
A little fist pump from you.
Ryan Walker got the save. Yep, we're good.
There you go. Congratulations. Two back? Yep. Two back to the Mets?
I think it's three. I'll have to check. It's looking good. But yeah, when it comes to Connolly early for Fab, you might want to bid early because if you're late, you're going to be in trouble. So God, make sure you get on that one.
That's even worse than the thing I put in the Discord tonight. That's terrible.
Well, we could talk about Anthony Volpe's off the field antics if you like. If you want to talk about fun conversations, but
we'll do that on Patreon only.
Yeah.
Red Sox rotation is just interesting. So if we think early has the spot, and I know that we're somewhat dating ourselves with this, but like on Wednesday, it's some type of combination of Tolley and Kyle Harrison.
Tolley starting. Yeah. They said Tolley starting. He's never pitched in the professional ranks on 4 days rest. So they don't want to let him go deep. That's why Harrison's up. But now we don't know the definition of what deep entails by three or four innings is my guess. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we will revisit on the Fab show, I guess, once we get some more clarity, but a lot of moving parts in that Boston rotation.
Yeah. Cause their manager flat at Cora said, Crochet, Giolito, and Bayo are locked into their spots in the rotation. They're pitching this weekend against the Yankees. That's like a done deal. It's the other two spots that they're trying to mix and match and put it together right now.
And you can't, but you can't take early out. I mean, I don't.
Not
I mean,
if only just go there. But
yeah. Nope. So, would line up for a two-step next week, by the way, which would be nice.
It'd be interesting. All right, a couple of Phillies bits of news here. Trey Turner to the IL with a grade one hamstring injury. They expect him back to start the postseason. Alec Boehm on the IL with a shoulder strain. Shoulder inflammation. He's expected back by the start of the postseason. Otto Kemp is up for Alec Boehm. Kemp went deep on Tuesday night. Edmundo Sosa is going to be the starting shortstop for the Phillies all the way through. Thoughts on this situation for a team that just beat down the Mets for the second straight night?
Yes, much to your pleasure. Trey Turner, both of those guys are drops. Turner sounds somewhat serious, so that's not great. Edmundo Sosa, I think, is the play. Edmundo Sosa is going to, sounds like, fill in for Trey Turner and kind of like an Ernie Clement, right? Like, plays everywhere, does a little bit of some stuff. I think I actually like Sosa more than Clement. I mean, I kind of have
to. I do, too. Oh, would, too. No, okay. I'm with you on that. Yeah,
I've
recommended Edmundo Sosa in the past. You're like, no, like, no, he's better than Clement. Clement had playing time. That was the difference,
dude. That was like, that's good, Rico. That was like 2 years ago. I remember that.
Yep.
Remember these grudges?
Never forget.
Yeah, no, I think Sosa is. So he's hitting .274, seven homers, steal, 237 plate appearances, a little bit of pop, good K rate, great lineup. So plays everywhere. You like Sosa as a pickup this week.
Yep, and Otto Kemp, he could be interesting for the power department. He's had that in the past, so we'll discuss him on Thursday as well.
The other bus driver.
He's more the long substitute. We have a commuter in Miami, and we got the long hauler in Philadelphia. Just check the MLB app in the wild card. The Giants are two back of the third wild card spot, so we got action, folks. Imagine if Bob Melvin didn't screw it up for 2 months. We'd be doing great. Daniel Palencia to the IL with a shoulder injury. This just doesn't sound good. I didn't drop him this for last week, so I wanted to hear more. Good chance I'll be dropping him this week, Ryan, unless somehow some good news comes out. Brad Keller looks to be the man. Kittredge pitched in the seventh on Tuesday night. Kind of put a kibosh on that for now. So where do you sit on the situation?
Yeah, Palencia I also held because he was not put on the IL as of Fab on Sunday night, but now he will be a drop once you hit the IL this late in the season with the shoulder. I don't see that coming back for the regular season, which sucks because Daniel Palencia was one of our collective better fab ads of the season. Yeah, you're right. It would have been Kittredge did pitch the seventh. I think somewhat high leverage, though, because he relieved Cade Horton in the middle of the inning. I don't know exactly the game situation there, but could have been a leverage spot. The Cubs won 6-1 on Tuesday night, scored four in the eighth to kind of put a save out of the equation. So Keller was available and probably would have closed it out. They went with Ben Brown instead to get him some work. So it sounds like Keller, at least for now, but still, I don't think we know if it's going to be kind of a mixture. It sounds like it will, but we don't know.
Yes, we do not know, to your point. Last bit of news here, Sean Murphy went to the IL with a hip impingement. He had a labral tear. He's having surgery. He's obviously done for the season. Should be back by spring training. Sandy Leone was recalled from AAA to take the catching backup role from Murphy, which was strictly pretty much a backup role because Drake Baldwin's been the dude playing pretty much like 4 or 5 days a week right now. So it's not a whole lot there, more so that, like, if you were still, this is a good precursor to the episode here. If you were still starting Sean Murphy for some reason, you shouldn't have been.
Correct. And yeah, Baldwin's universally rostered because he was playing enough, even in a backup role. So not much there.
Most definitely. All right, let's get to the board. Let's see what we got here. Light us up and tell us what we're looking at here.
All right. So shout out to, I was somewhat out of ideas for our episode. These are always tough with 3 weeks left in the season because we just don't know how players are going to do. And it's just very, you know, we could do like a last month risers and fallers, but like how actionable is that over the last few months? So I put the call out in the Discord and our good buddy, Aaron Giffs, Aaron Asbury came up with this concept of, We talk about ads and schedules and that sort of thing on, you know, every Thursday on the Fab preview. This is a little bit different. This is looking at the players who are over 60% started. So pretty much widely started in NFBC main event. This is a 15 teamer. I wanted to use main event because there's a lot of dead teams in the NFBC 12 teamers right now, the OCs. There's a lot of dead teams there. So these are players that are pretty much widely started, over 60%. Yet have the fewest number of at-bats over the last 2 weeks. And so the angle here is strictly playing time. Are there any guys who are universally started that aren't doing much or even aren't playing much? Like aren't doing much is more the Gene Segura, like they're playing every day, they're just not doing much. These are guys who are not playing every day, and thus you need to look at them as potential drops or sits for these final 2 weeks of the season. So that's the kind of general thing that we're looking at here. So the board itself has the names of these guys. We've got, I think, 40 of them with their start percentage and their at-bats over the last 2 weeks. And then there is a small list on the flip side, guys with the most at-bats over the last 2 weeks, yet are under 50% started in main events as well. So that's the general gist of this board, is to be monitoring playing time, play guys who start, guys who are playing, sit guys who are not. Sounds simple, but they slip through the cracks.
Not always. Good point. So we'll start at the top here. Jack Caglione, that's been quite people in Discord were not happy. People on Twitter were not happy when he gets called up and not playing. I had to kind of try to slow things down, saying the team didn't want to bring him up anyways until he could play. And then the roster's expanded. That's how I saw it. I will say this. Now, he started on 63% of mains. He's got 12 at-bats over the last 14 days. He played versus a lefty today, which is a good start. He's played four of the last five games. Maybe this is a sign of things to come in this scenario. I'm still not sold on this, as you still have other options in the outfield situation here. You have Jonathan India just came back, which kind of messes with things. Bobby Witt's been banged up, but he came back tonight.
Yep.
There's moving pieces, of course, but Where are you at on Jack, your boy, who really wasn't getting a ton of playing time for a while there?
Wasn't. And I did like kind of manually remove the obvious injured guys because, like, yeah, you don't have a lot of at-bats in the last 2 weeks because you were on the IL for half of it. That is the case with Caglione, but I didn't want to take him off for the exact reasons that you just mentioned. So, like, even when Caglione came back from the IL on September 2nd, he's been benched three times in those eight games. So I don't think you can really rely on, even in a 15 teamer, Jack Caglione the rest of the way, especially like you said, with Bobby Witt. Hopefully the back is okay. He's back at shortstop. India's up back off the IL. I don't know if Caglione's going to be an everyday guy. So only 63% started, but only 12 at-bats in 8 games, which isn't great for Jack Cags on the way back. So look elsewhere. Look for other options if you have Jack Caglione.
Yeah, I'm curious about the playing time. They got 3 righties on tap this weekend, and then the 6 righties in 6 games next week. So 9 games starting on Friday in a row versus righties. I'm guessing he might play 7 of those, but the other point, I mean, don't think his production's good right now. So right, I'm not running to play him. So
I mean, he didn't start against a righty on Sunday, last Thursday, or last Tuesday. So
that's what I'm saying. I think he plays like 7 of the 9, 6 of the 9. So yeah, that's back to the point. Not what you need for a target at this time of the year.
And I think the overarching point is my guy is hitting 154 with 5 home runs and 177 plate appearances.
Ernie Clement or Jack Caglione?
Oh, don't make me answer that, man. Come on. I got to have some self-respect at this point.
That's why I threw it out there.
Yeah.
Thanks. All right. Another kind of similar to the Jack point here. Victor Robles has started in 84% of leagues, 13 at-bats for the last 14 days. But he was suspended. He's played 4 straight games, 2 righties, 2 lefties. So maybe this is one to pay attention to as, hey, he was in a platoon before he went on his suspension. Now he's back playing every single day, which honestly surprises me a ton because I did not see that one coming.
Agreed. And I follow the Mariners somewhat closely and, yeah, was not playing every day, Victor Robles, even before the suspension. But like you said, 4 in a row. So I think if you need batting average and stolen bases, this is someone you – absolutely roll with despite the 13 at-bats. I should also add, Bented recommended I do this, the just for a frame of reference, like on average, if you're a full-time player in a week, you'll get like 20, low 20s number of at-bats, kind of depending on how many walks you take. So you're kind of your league average for an everyday player on this list for 2 weeks. You want to look like kind of low 40s, something like that, just to give you some frame of reference there.
Good point. Jason Dominguez, I actually dropped him this past week. I think it was an OC. Maybe it was an OLAC. Can't remember anymore. But he's being started in 60% of main events. He has 13 at-bats. He is full tilt mode ever since Giancarlo came back. And given Giancarlo is deserved to play every single day, not going to knock that one. But Jason Dominguez has been pretty good. The problem is it's more so Grisham's been good. That's what's really curtailed this event. Jason's played once in the last 6 games. Started once in the last 6 games. He's not even 23 and they can't even find a spot for him. So it's pretty rough.
This is why Jason Dominguez is like, he is the cover boy of this episode. Like actually quite literally our YouTube thumbnail features Jason Dominguez. I don't see how it's possible. He's 60% started in these leagues and playing. Yeah. Like starting like once or twice a week. This is the perfect example of somebody who you cannot rely on over the last two weeks. Like I love the long-term outlook. I actually like the skills. I wish the Yankees would play him more. There's just not enough space and he's not playing. So I don't think you can start Jason Dominguez, even though he's 60% started in these 15 teamers.
Yeah. I've had him benched for a while. But it's just like, I keep him around. Cause when Judge got hurt or someone gets hurt, he plays and he plays great. Like it's awesome.
Sure.
I think it had to be a 15 team league. It had to be my OLAC when I was doing that. But I finally said, you know what? Nope. We're dropping him for somebody else that I could actually use right now. Like we're moving on with this situation. And so this is a great point that is highlighted on this episode right there. All right. Ha-Sung Kim, a guy that's been hurt a lot. And now he joined the Braves, came off the IL. He's playing every single day and he's hitting basically 4th, 5th, or 6th every single day. We talked about this on the Fab Show, Ryan. This is one of the top pickups of last week. Still widely available in 12s, pretty much rostered in 15s. What do you have on Ha-Sung Kim?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably should have removed Ha-Sung Kim from this board manually, but this is one who, right, you do need to look. Like if we did this over the last week, Ha-Sung Kim would want to be one of the top at-bats guys in the game because he is playing every single day with the Braves. Stolen base, Maven, 6 steals, 116 plate appearances, only hitting .231, but that's going to be very fluky given that he hasn't played much. So Ha-Sung Kim is, I think, an ad in any format at this point.
Yep. Completely agree. Jake Berger, really curious your thoughts here. So I won't completely derail this one from you because I have a lot of thoughts on this. He's being started in 88% of main events, 21 at bats over the last 14 games. He came back from the IL and he's playing pretty much every day now. He's taken Rowdy's job. There's no platoon. But would you play him every day, Ryan?
Right. Like that's the problem. I would. I think Jake Brewer is still really good and he is playing every day. Came back from the IL, did not play the first two games back, and it was like, ugh. Guess it's Rowdy time, but it is not. Jake Berger is still hitting. I mean, God, probably the most consistent. He's like Chris Davis in terms of batting average, like with a K in terms of consistency. 250 each the last three seasons, hitting 245 this year. Has 32 barrels to only 14 home runs. Like, I feel like the power is still there for Jake Berger. Yep. He's playing every day. I actually like Jake Berger quite a bit. But you said you had a lot of thoughts, so I don't know if you agree or disagree.
No, I just wanted to. I agree. Like, since he's come back on September 1st before Tuesday night stats accumulate, he's hitting 286. He's hit safely in 5 of 6 games. He has 2 homers, 5 RBIs, only striking out 22.7%, which I think is great. And to your quality of contact discussion, since he's returned from the IL, an 18.8% barrel rate, a 56.3% hard hit rate. He has 3 barrels in 16 events or whatever. Like, that's what the math says. But 113.2 max EV. Like, he's still crushing baseballs, absolutely destroying baseballs. And that's what you want to see. That's what he does. Even when he gets hurt, he comes back. Sometimes just like the last time he came off the IL, it took a few weeks. That's why I was wondering how it would go. And I even wrote about it in the FAB article this week. I said, okay, let's see what he does. He's actually starting to play now. If he plays over the weekend, this is something to jump on because he's widely available this past week. A lot, he got scooped up in a lot of places. So this is one of those 88% started. If we did this one next Tuesday, you're going to see him probably on the right side of, well, he wouldn't be on the board anymore, but he'll be sitting in a pretty spot, I believe.
Yep, agreed.
Similar to Jason Dominguez, how in the heck are you starting Nick Castellanos in 74% of main event leagues? Dude has 25 at-bats, which to me I thought was a high number from what I pay attention to of Nick Castellanos. The manager flat out said, I don't know if I can trust starting Nick Castellanos. That's like the roundabout way of what he said. He's on the bench. You go to roster resource, he is on the bench. Now he's played the last three games to really screw this whole thing up. But where are you at on Nick Castellanos?
It's this one's the trickiest for me because, yeah, sat pretty much the entire weekend. I guess played Sunday, but was off Thursday. I wonder if that was just like a mental break. I forget who else had that recently. Teoscar, I think.
Pete Crow Armstrong, Teoscar.
So it could just be that. You're right. Castellanos has started the last three games. Did hit an RBI double. Minutes after I created this board, which of course is going to happen. I don't want to punt on this, but I've just watched the next few lineups. If you're like in weekly leagues or you said it over the weekend, if Castellanos is playing these next couple games, I think you do start him. However, I mean, the other elephant in the room is like, there's a reason Castellanos hasn't been playing, right? He's hitting 192 with 1 home run over the last 31 days. So, like, again, I'm not as worried about that. Like, that stuff can fluctuate. You just need the playing time at this point. But I think you probably have better options in a 12-teamer for Nick Castellanos. And, Bub, I know you agree with that. You're more down on him than I am.
Yeah, he's gone for me like in 15. Like, I have him in DCs. I haven't started him in weeks, and there's not many other options in DCs. Let's put it that way. And he is like 31 days is a small sample, sure. But the second half of the season, he's hitting 203 with 4 home runs. He had 12 homers, hit 273 in the first half. Like, this has been a long go, like 12 RBIs in the second half. He's crushing your fantasy teams, absolutely crushing them. Because most people just said he is a Gene Segura. He is a poster boy for Gene Segura for a lot of people. And I'd be worried now, sure, like to your point, in 2 weeks, could he turn it around and put up, you know, 4 home runs? And yeah, sure, he definitely could. At the same time, they are now gone with Alec Bohm and Trey Turner out of that team. So some of the backup in that offense is also gone. I want nothing to do with Nick Castellanos the rest of the way. If he proves me wrong, so be it. I will take my chances elsewhere.
Okay.
All righty. A favorite of the show, favorite of yours, Jesus Sanchez. He started in 84% of main events, 26 at bats though over the last 14 days. Strict platoon with Jesus Sanchez. Strict platoon. So you got to watch the Astros roster, and that's a big part of this. Like the rest of the week, when you're talking Houston, or this whole week, it was, you know, 6 games, 1 lefty, 5 righty. So good week for Jesus. We'll see how that pans out by the end of the week. What are your thoughts on Mr. Sanchez?
Right. This, yeah, Jesus Sanchez, Strick Platoon, don't even want him playing against lefties, and he is on this board just because that's the way the schedule has shaken out lately for Houston. They've faced 6 lefties in the last 12 games, so Jesus Sanchez just isn't playing. However, looking at the weekly planner for this week and next week, Houston gets 5 righties the rest of this week, or maybe 4 since they play tonight. 6 the following week, so rock and roll with Jesus Sanchez. This is just a byproduct of Houston playing a bunch of lefties, and they won't see as many lefties going forward, so that's good news for Jesus.
Good call. Cedric Mullins, 70% roster, or started in Mainz, 26 at-bats over the last 14 days. Another Strick Platoon guy, but a guy that's not hitting either.
Right, agreed. But has started pretty much every day. He's been benched a couple times against righties, too. So a little bit more concern with Cedric Mullins than Jesus. The Mets the rest of this week only get 2. That's right. This is the heavy lefty week for the Mets. So yep. Maybe too late in weekly leagues, but only 2 more righties for the Mets this week. And then next week for the Mets, they get 5. So, playing time's not going to be there for Cedric Mullins the rest of this week. And if someone gets hot, takes his place, Houston's in a battle with the Mariners, who are now just 1 game back in the AL West. They just won a few minutes ago. Josh Naylor's doing a post-game press conference in a basketball jersey. That's beautiful.
He's such a beautiful human being.
They need to sign him.
Yes.
I'm very lukewarm on Cedric Mullins the rest of the way, just because I don't know if he actually still plays every day against righties. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good point. And to the other point you made, 4 lefties on the week and still 70% started. Bold strategy, Cotton.
Yeah, that's somewhat egregious, to be honest with you, because it was a 5 lefty week for the Mets.
Pretty much an obvious situation there that did not take place. Yeah. Christian Yelich started in 93% of leagues, 28 at bats for the last 14 days, obviously missed 4 or 5 days with the back injury. He's back. Looking good again, hitting the ball hard, stole a base on Tuesday.
Yep.
Like, I think we're good.
Was just going to say the stolen base tonight is just kind of, that's the chef's kiss. It's just, he's not just playing just with precautions. He is out there and running. So this is what you're going to get with Christian Yelich. Feels like this is a yearly occurrence in September. I think that, yes, it was rough. You missed 5 games in a row, Christian Yelich. Hopefully that's the worst of this. I think you just roll with Christian Yelich and take a day off or 2 each week. Christian Yelich is so good that he can make up for it in a 4, you know, playing 4 games in a week or something. So I think you just roll with it and not get too cute here.
I agree. He was pretty adamant too, and they got to asking about his back. He's like, hey, I had surgery. I haven't taken a day off for this thing all season. Yeah. It's sore. We're
fine. And he knows. Like, I mean, he knows his back. Like, he knows. Yeah. He knows.
So. He was like, this is like, you guys need to calm down. Like, we're good. Don't worry about it. So we're good. Dalton Varsho. This is another one that was battling injuries for a while. Started in 91% of mains, 28 at bats over the last 14 days. He's starting every day or almost every day in center field. Are we good to go with Mr. Varsho?
Yeah, we are. This is a product of 2 games missed last weekend with injury and then just sat 2 games as well. But pretty much Dalton Varsho is an everyday player, so I'm not too worried about him on this list. I'm glad we're talking through this because not everyone on this list, obviously, is, you know, there's a lot of context to this. So yes, don't just look at the board. Actually listen to the pod, which you're already listening to the pod as I'm saying this. So I'm really talking to nobody. So that's great.
Okay, you're talking to me, my friend. All right, Jake Mangum style. I'm actually glad he's on the list because I enjoyed writing about him this past week in Feb. He started in 86% of mains, 29 at-bats over the last 2 weeks. But that checks out because Mangum sits versus lefties, and he starts versus righties. And I'm going to try to stop stealing all the talking points here. But
no, go for it. You're much more in tune with playing time and trends, as we all know, than I am. So go for it, man.
But like the thing I love about Jake Mangum is like the dude is a batting average machine since August 1st, hitting .323 with 8 steals, 0 power. Like there's no home runs. But like if you want to shrink sample sizes, because some people say that's, you know, you want smaller or you want larger, let's go smaller here. Since like the 72 weeks, hitting .415 with 5 steals, like strikes out less than 4% of the time. The dude's a hitting machine. And if they have a heavy righty week, like they do this week that we are talking about now in the presence, it was a great week to go grab some Jake Mangold. It was four righties. So it's not a heavy, but still pretty good. And if you look at Tampa Bay next week, it's six righties in seven games, all in Tampa Bay.
Yep.
So I loved him this past week. He wasn't the top guy on my waterfall, but that's why I wanted to talk about him for a second. Is Dalen Lyle was above him for me, which checks out. But when you're looking for, it's hard to find batting averages, and he might not move the needle a lot in the last 3 weeks, Ryan. Like, let's just be real when it comes to ratios. But dude, if a guy can hit 430 for 3 weeks for you, that's got to help a little bit. Just gonna throw that out there.
Got to help a little bit. Batting average works both ways. Guy ahead of you, guy or gal ahead of you may go, you know, 2 for 30, like some of my squads. And it's actually, they can actually fall back. Unlike, you know, you can't hit negative one home runs. A couple of my teams have tried, but I don't think that's possible. So you can still move in these ratio categories. And Jake Mangum, I think the biggest thing, if you have him on your team right now, you're in a weekly league. Six righties at home next week. You lock and load here. So not only am I, you know, not down on Jake Mangum, I am embracing Mangum style.
Yes, God, that rings music to my ears here, and you say stupid things like that.
That's actually one of your better nicknames.
If I was ever good with like Photoshop, I'd have the Psy thing with Mangum's head on it, dude. Like Roto-Wear, make it happen.
You can learn. We can, as the idiom goes, we could teach an old dog new tricks.
You got the old part, right? That's for sure. All right. Let's talk about the next one here. Kerry Bonds. That's all I heard in the preseason. Kerry Bonds. Kerry Carpenter, 88% started in main events, 31 at bats over the last 14 days, Ryan. What do you got on Kerry Bonds?
Just platoon. So that's probably why he's on here. Detroit this week gets four more righties after today. Detroit next week only gets three. So that is at least how it lines up now. Again, this could all change. And we're not even looking at the last week of the season because who knows what rotation is going to be. But Kerry Bonds, you're safe with this week. I don't know about next week with three righties. You're probably still rolling with him because he's Kerry Carpenter still, I think, pretty good. But you may have better options than 12-teamers.
And that's one reason why we're talking about this right now is because, like, obviously we'll talk Fab and who we're going to pick up as kind of like could partner with it. Some of these guys are like, yeah, no duh, you're going to play these guys. But over the last final weeks of the season, if you need, like, you can jump a couple points and runs, or you need every at-bat you can get.
So, or if you're good, good on offense, you need steals. Kerry Carpenter's not doing that for you at all. Everything is categories at this point. So
yeah. So if he's going to, and if you know he's sitting three games, like, that's crushing you for certain things. So that's where you have to start making these really, like, some might think they're not tough decisions, some might think they're tough decisions, and that's one of the big points of this exercise, is to more point that kind of stuff out to
you. Yeah, and the Fab Show, we're really focusing more on like pickups, but like a lot of these guys are they're widely started, but they're obviously widely owned, so it's a little bit of a different conversation.
These could be drops,
and if you're not starting somebody next week, are you dropping them because you're not using them, and that's half the season? So
only one more Fab period to go after that. Like, someone else gets them for a week, or you can pick them up, or they just sit there.
Exactly. So it just gets very, very tricky these last couple weeks.
Yep, it is 40 chess right here. And I trust me, you think an old dog do tricks 40 chess? Yeah, not over here. Nathaniel Lowe, 81% started. Nathaniel Lowe, first baseman for the Boston Red Sox, 81% started. 31 at-bats. He's actually swinging it well when he plays for Boston. It's the when he plays start. He pretty much righties, Ryan, but he got a lefty in the mix, but then he sat versus a lefty on Tuesday, so Romy Gonzalez could play first base. So what are you doing with Nathaniel Lowe?
Yeah, he's tricky because Nathaniel Lowe's like, yes, he's been swinging it well lately, but he's not so good that you just roll with him no matter what. Three more righties this week for Boston, only four next week, so you may have better options if you're not in 15 teamers, if you have Nathaniel Lowe. If you're forced to play him these next 2 weeks, I think you're still fine because they get enough righties, but that is why Nathaniel Lowe is on here. He is not an everyday player for Boston.
Yep. Giancarlo Stanton, 91% started, 32 at bats over the last 14 days. This is a guy I tilted for weeks in the Discord because it's like you knew he wasn't going to play every day. So how do you start him? And he's still crushed in like the three games he played. So I just started playing him and said, screw it, I'm breaking the rules here.
Yeah.
And now he's playing every day.
Pretty much. With the occasional maintenance day, and that's why. And we're almost to the point where like we're almost getting to league average with some of these guys. Stanton, they're not going to play him seven games in a row just for you got to keep our guy upright. So you just roll with. I like your approach. You have Stanton, start him. Don't worry about it. You'll reap the rewards.
Yeah, with Judge playing the outfield, Stanton can DH. It changes things a ton over there. This one surprised me to see him on the list. And now I realize it's because he's been banged up, but still he's playing pretty much every day. Taylor Ward, he's 100% started in main events, but only has 33 at bats. Is it because he's getting walked a lot? I have to look in this more. Like, what do you got here on Taylor Ward? Because the dude plays a ton and it feels like he's always doing well.
He is playing every day. It's two injury days, which is why Taylor Ward is on this list. I think we got a couple questions from Doc on benching or cutting Taylor Ward. Taylor Ward over the last month has not been good. It's been a 163 batting average. 163.
That's pretty bad.
Really not good. But I think, and kind of goes back to what I was saying at the top, we know Taylor Ward's pretty good. We've seen him be horrible like at the start of the season and all of a sudden turns it back on. You just ride this out. As long as the playing time's there, I think you just go with Taylor Ward and just kind of hope some of that low BABIP lately corrects. And I think had a couple hits tonight and a steal, something like that. So he's fine. He'll be fine.
He will be fine. Bobby Witt Jr., he'll be fine. Just came back from his back injury. Back. Not even going to approach
that. Should have deleted him, but yeah.
Yeah, not going to approach that conversation. Gavin Lux, I will, though. Gavin Lux, 61% started in mains, 33 at-bats over the last 14 games. They finished the week in Cincinnati, but again, if they're started in mains right now, you're starting them for the first half of the week, in theory, as we're doing this. Where are you at in Gavin Lux? Because they have seven at home next week.
Seven at home next week against five righties, and it's a good schedule. I guess looking at the weekly planner, it's a 12% K to walk for starting pitchers going against the Reds next week. So I guess Gavin Lux is startable. I don't think Gavin Lux is all that great. He's got five home runs. Is this Gavin Lux's page or is this Ernie Clements? No, it's Gavin Lux's page. Five home runs and 448 plate appearances.
This is okay. This is before you completely just derail Gavin Lux's career. The thing with him that is rough, yes, there's no power at all. Literally, he had three home runs in June, Ryan. He's only had two the rest of the season. It's been bad. But what I will say, now he's only hitting he's hitting 174 over the first seven games of September. That's not great. Dude hit 303 in August, hit 254 in July. That's the one thing Lux has done, even like in small samples of the Dodgers. He can usually provide a little bit of batting average. I'll give him that much. He doesn't run, doesn't have any power. But again, if you're looking for potential, just run scored, hit reduced average, five out of seven games versus lefties for our righties for now, like he could have a nice week at Cincinnati next week. But yes, he's one of those guys that I think I've added and dropped multiple times this season just to stream in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yep.
Matty McClain, his teammate, Matty McClain. He's up to 93% started, 34 at bats. This is one of those where people wanted to just say, what's wrong with him? Cast him away. And it seems maybe, kind of, sort of, things have changed.
The biggest thing is, he is pretty much playing every day. I think he's had two off days last 2 weeks, which is kind of why he shows up on this list. But yeah, over the last month, Matt McClain, 242, three homers, hasn't stolen a base, but still, for as bad as he's been this year, it's still 14 homers, 16 bags. Batting average is going to kill you, so just beware of that if you're looking at categories. But in terms of power speed, and he's playing every day, you roll Matt McClain out there, I think, pretty much universally.
Yep, starting to hit with a little more thump towards the end of this last week, so maybe that'll carry over down the stretch, especially the seven games in Great American. A few more here, Ryan. Zach McKinstry, 88% started, 34 at-bats, was out of Tuesday's game with an injury, which that's no bueno. But a guy that usually plays every day at some point because he plays all over the diamond.
Yep, agreed. Not much to add here. I mean, he's not the 19 steals. That's more than I thought this year.
Oh, he's been pretty productive.
Steals. Yeah, he's been pretty good this year.
He'd be one of those DC darlings is what he would be because he plays all over the place.
Yep.
He can get 19 steals and stuff. Like, he'd be pretty pumped.
Yep. If you've been starting McKinstry, you still go ahead and do it. Yep.
Ryan McMahon, he is another guy that has been started in 72% of leagues, 34 at-bats. Production stinks, but he plays.
Yeah, I think he has, does he have one homer with the Yankees? No, he's got a couple, looks like. I don't know. Ever since Ryan McMahon left Coors Field. And granted, this is 15-teamer, so you just need somebody who's playing at corner. But yeah, I don't think Ryan McMahon's all that great.
Yeah, dropped him a long time ago. Moved on from that party. Isaac Collins, the once front runner for Rookie of the Year, now that has gone to Cade Horton. Isaac Collins, 61% started in the main event, 34 at-bats over the past 2 weeks. I can't figure out what's going on here. I know he left on, I believe it was a paternity list at one point.
Yes.
And since he came back, it has been a roller coaster of emotions, it feels like, for him.
Those sleepless nights, man. Both that'll been there. It. God. Yep,
that'll do it.
I mean, you vented in text on Monday because he didn't start on Monday. Yeah, for whatever reason, Collins is getting like occasional off days, and I think it's kind of to the point where, like, I mean, is he good enough to be a for sure starter if he continues to miss a game or two, like Stanton, I think is a good enough. I don't know if Collins is, but again, I'm always low on Collins, but I don't know. I would be looking at other options if you need to.
Yeah, he needs to play. And they got mouths to feed. Jake Bowers is back playing just enough and hitting, which is causing a problem.
Hoskins is back, I guess.
Hoskins is back. Yeah. Yeah, Blake Perkins. Like, they got a lot of mouths to feed right now, and it feels like Isaac Collins might just be in a circling pattern there, is the way I'll say it. Teoscar. Teoscar Hernandez, 98% started. He went deep on Tuesday, thank God. 35 at-bats over the last 2 weeks for Teoscar, who he, like you said earlier, did get a mental break recently. It's been kind of a, feels like maybe I'm overthinking it, down season for Teoscar. So what do you have here?
No, it has. I actually, so for Baseball HQ, it's article's coming out on Wednesday. I did a quick like recap. It's like a Mulligan's article, but part of it is a kind of a color-coded blue board of the top 100 ADP. Teoscar, yeah, not the best season. 21 home runs and .239 batting average. Like, that's not great. It's not horrible. Like, you still got 78 RBI, 54 runs. I mean, that lineup helps, but hasn't been great. Teoscar is on this list because of the mental break. Like you said, hit a home run tonight. If you have Teoscar Hernandez, you're rolling with him. He's just, I think he's still a good hitter. He's in a great lineup. He's 98% started. You roll with him.
Yep. You go there as the Dodgers hopefully get, well, they should get clicking. They really have not for a while. That's been their biggest thing. Their offense has been pretty approachable, which does not help at all. I'm curious your thoughts here. O'Neill Cruz, 93% started in main events, 35 at-bats over the last 2 weeks. The floor is yours before I say anything.
I mean, for me, it's a lefty-righty thing. Rest of this week, Pirates only get 3 righties. Like, that's not great. Pirates next week only get 4 righties. I don't think O'Neill Cruz is a slam-dunk start, even though he is started in 93% of main events, especially if you're bunched in batting average. You know he's not going to do that, and facing at least 5 lefties over the next week and a half. Like, you see O'Neill Cruz on your roster, you drafted him early, you think auto start. It's not quite like, sure, if you're bunched in homers and steals, like, go with O'Neill Cruz. But man, when O'Neill Cruz is playing lefties, he is not startable. He's almost unrosterable.
To be fair, you could say that about righties too, when it comes to O'Neill Cruz. He's been benched for quite a while for me, and I'm probably going to drop him this week wherever I do have him.
Whoa!
Since August 1st, he's hitting .132 with 2 home runs and 3 steals with 34% strikeout rate. He has done jack squat to your team except crush it if you've been starting him every single week. Like, he is horrible. He doesn't know what he's doing up there, striking the ball 300 miles an hour somewhere, but he also can't make contact half the time. He is not worth rostering for the final 2 weeks of the season. I'll just say right
now. Disagree, but I like the passion behind it. I like the passion.
He's been so bad. Like, he's worse than Nick Castellanos.
And like, would you be checked out if you were playing out the string in Pittsburgh right now, last 2 weeks?
Oh,
like,
that's what this over with. I said it a while back with him when he had struggles going on one of our Bloom boards. I'm like, he hates the team. He hates the ownership. He doesn't want to be there. Like, it all checks out. So that means why am I rostering him if he's checked out type thing?
Yeah.
There's limits to this.
No, you make a valiant point. And yes, you do.
All right, Addison Barger. This is one that's been a pain in the butt. 84% started, 35 at bats over the last 2 weeks. He has hit the skids for sure. We've seen in the Discord people saying this is your Gene Segura. This is your Gene Segura. Did have a big double tonight, but it's been few and far between for him. What are your thoughts on Mr. Barger?
O'Neill Cruz-esque lately.
Not as bad.
169 batting average last 31 days, two homers in a bag.
Pretty close.
This is a combination of a little bit of a platoon, but also Barger's been benched sometimes against righties. So I don't even know if the Bo Bichette injury probably does open up just because Clement plays everywhere. Now he's kind of occupied at shortstop. So
darn straight.
That probably helps, at least against right-handed pitching. Toronto the rest of the way. Gets four righties the rest of this week. Well, three after tonight. And only four righties next week. So not a slam dunk start for me, Addison Barger. He has certainly been an excellent fab pickup for you, but that means nothing going forward. If you've got better options, I would not say Addison Barger's an auto start.
Definitely. Dylan Cruz, 79% started, 35 at-bats. People say, oh, he's back. He's going to hit for average. He's going to steal bases. He ain't doing either. So throw it out there. He's doing nothing. He stole like two bags when he first came back. He hasn't stole a bag in probably 10 games. So, he's not doing it for you either.
Yeah, and not even playing. I mean, I wonder if like the Nationals are just kind of easing him back into things and giving him the occasional rest day. I think if you have Dylan Cruz, certainly in 15-teamers, you go with it. But in 12s,
he got
hasn't done much.
Cody Clemens is certainly a 15. I don't have a whole lot to say with him. We've kind of poo-pooed him the last couple of fab shows. Josh Bell is starting to hit with power, folks.
Dude, like, he's on fire, man.
He's doing one of those Josh Bell runs where it's like, yep, that's how we're going to roster him in the 75th round of a DC next year, just because he does this every single season. 72% started, 35 at-bats. He switch hits. He plays. I don't have a lot here.
And he's hot, dude.
Yep.
It's mostly a lefty-righty thing. Like, would you take Josh Bell over former teammate Nathaniel Lowe the rest of the way? No, it's a stupid question, but I think I'd take Bell. Just go with whoever's hot right now.
Yep, 2 weeks hot stretch run.
And the Nats get four more righties this week, and the Nats get six righties next week. So a ton of righties for Josh Bell coming up. That's actually a target for me.
Yep, that's a big one. Another Nats, Luis Garcia Jr., 98% started, 36 at-bats. I dropped him a month ago in 12s because of the platoon situation and the production, so pretty simple there.
Yep, agreed. Not even the production's been there, but like I just said with Bell, ton of righties coming up for the Nats, so in 15-teamers, you absolutely keep Luis Garcia going.
PCA, 95% started, 36 at-bats, one of the worst hitters in baseball in the second half of the season. That's just not me. That is actually the player hitter saying that. So, and got some time, mental days off. Did come back and have an okay game on Tuesday, but I think he's lost for the rest of this season, personally.
To the point where you don't start him in 12s? Drop him?
I don't know
if you don't start him, you drop him.
Well, I probably wait to drop him the final week of the season so no one else could get rostered in case he does get hot type thing.
Two steals on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, let's see how this coming out of this mental break goes the next couple of days here before I get too.
Yeah.
O'Neill Cruz gone. PCA, I'm still kind of tepid.
Yeah, I think you start PCA and just go with it. He's been horrendous second half, but the talent is there. We saw what he did. Like, yeah, I think PCA got you here. You start him. He's playing. Go for it.
All right, I'll let you have this one. Andrés Giménez, your boy, 68% started, 36 at-bats. What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm probably starting him and then hating myself for doing it.
That's a good answer because he's not good.
It's not good. He is playing pretty much every day, second base, and you never know if you need steals or whatever. You're bunched up there. You could do it. Jimenez is 12 of 13 on the base pass this year. He's only hitting 213 on the season, but here I go again, man, talking myself back into this damn guy. K rate's under 20%. Like, he doesn't strike out. Yeah, he doesn't hit the ball that hard, but he runs. I hate myself for doing this. But
that's why I said the floor is yours when it comes to
you're just like sitting back and watching me like talk. Like,
I wrote him up in a fab like 2 weeks ago. I had him as preliminary in fab. I just erased him. Like, I'm not even going to justify writing this up in fab right now. I'm out on that one. All right, we'll go quickly through the opposite side of things here, Ryan, because this is where I think it gets in. Like, we talked about guys you could potentially cut for your final 2 weeks, which is, I think, very valuable in this weekly conversation. To your point, fab, we pretty much talk about who to add. Don't focus on the negatives as much, otherwise we'd be there for 4 hours. Let's talk about these, though. Curtis Meade of the Chicago White Sox, 33% started in mains, but he's got 47 at-bats. That's telling you he's playing as way above average, to Ryan's point. Earlier in this one, he's hitting seventh on Tuesday. I know that because of DFS, but he plays pretty much every single day, first, third, DH, you name it, he does it. So what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I don't mind Meade. I mean, he doesn't really do anything well. He does a little bit of everything, but playing all the time since he's basically been on the White Sox, I still mentally think he's on the Rays, but 15-teamer. And I mean, I think a 33% start rate for Curtis Meade, which is what we're looking at, that's probably about right. I don't think you go for Meade in 12s, but the playing time is there. So that inherently means he's a target in 15s with 2 weeks left.
Most of these will be 15s. That'll be just pretty clear. If they're barely started in mains, this will be a 15 thing. But hey, people say we don't always focus on the deep enough. Well, here you go. This is your wheelhouse for fab coming up here. Kyle Karros. 46% of leagues, 45 at bats. He's just not good. He's not good. Right. He's the son of former great player. He plays in Colorado. Maybe he'll be good down the line. He's not good right now.
Colorado is in Coors next week. Five righties against a very good schedule. They host the Marlins and the Angels. So
a good schedule. Very good.
That schedule is a good schedule at home in Coors. Just throwing that out there.
A good schedule.
Yeah. You got to be pretty desperate. But again, in 15 teamers, you don't have many other options. So Kyle Karros in 15s, if you need a corner, it isn't the worst thing in the world, even though he probably will do nothing.
We'll skip Alec Bohm as he is on the IL now. We'll go to Thomas Agassi. This one's intriguing to me because this is a guy we liked when he got called up last year. Playing time's always been a thing with Agassi. 25% started in mains, 42 at bats, tells you the playing time's there. He's pretty much the primary second baseman. Now, before we go too good or bad here, Brendan Donovan started a rehab assignment. He's supposed to be back on Friday. I'll let you have the floor now.
Well, you toss that wrench in there and then you bail, throw the grenade. That's right. I was going to sit here and recommend Sajacy and now I won't. At least you threw it out there before I start talking.
That's what friends are for. Thanks. I just wanted to make sure, like, you know, if there's a setback, we'll talk about it Thursday night. And then Sagasi's very much back in play. But this is one of those, like, if you've been rostering him, thank you for your service. The 25% that have been starting him, sharp of you. Like, well done. Kudos. But it's tough going forward.
Yeah.
I got nothing on Nacho Alvarez. He might be worse than Kyle Karros.
Might be. Yeah, no nachos for me.
Heriberto Hernandez, like, he's had his moments where he's like, he's got the power. The batting average is pretty rough. 40% started, 41 at bats. That's pretty wide open there in Miami. We will talk about a different outfielder on Thursday night that I'm pretty pumped to see if this pans out. But anything on Heriberto Hernandez?
No, I think if you need power, I mean, Hernandez has started all the last 10 games. It's been split lefties and righties. So I think this is an everyday player, an 11% barrel rate. He's got 16 barrels and 231 plate appearances, hitting 260. Like, I think this is a decent fifth outfielder in deep leagues, and he's playing every day. So again, you just never know when that power could result in three homers in a week, and there you go. That's what you need. So I'm actually somewhat high on Heriberto Hernandez.
Yeah, I've rostered him off and on in some of my 15s for the last couple months.
Like, Stowers is not coming back, it sounds like. So
I haven't heard a report on Tuesday. Didn't play Friday, so he got pulled off Saturday and Sunday's rehab games. Went back to Miami to get reevaluated on Monday. I got pulled off his whole assignment Monday. For all of that factors, I think we might not see Stowers the rest of the season. And that, to your point, that makes Heriberto probably even more enticing the final 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
Brian Rocchio has been playing a ton with Cleveland, 40% started, 41 at bats. I've always, probably no.
Yeah, great place to be, right? Brian Rocchio doesn't really do anything. Yeah. He's there for his glove.
Really deep, plays, but really deep league.
Yeah, if like a 40% start rate in the main, that's tough. That's why 15 teamers are freaking tough, man. Like Brian Rocchio is not that good.
Nearly started in half of the leagues. Nearly started in half of them. That is insane. Ouch.
God.
But like that's he's in necessities.
And that's not like that's not like a dead team or anything in Maine. Like you actually had to pick up Rocchio in the last couple of weeks to do this. And granted, I mean, I guess we shouldn't hate too. It's been three homers, three steals over the last.
He's been productive.
He's done. Yeah, he's done a little bit, but.
That's right. I said I go back and forth on him. Like,
yeah,
I remember like I know, rostering him in DC. Is he has his moments where he's really, really good. And there's other moments like, okay, he's just there for his glove.
Yeah. Yep.
That's where it's frustrating. That's where I meant yes, no, yes. Like, you just either got to suck it up and roll, which in a 15 is what you do. That's why I just couldn't stomach it in 12. But then there's Brooks Baldwin, who I said I could almost see in a 12 now, mainly because he can play in every position on the diamond, it feels like. 37% started in Mainz, 41 at bats. I honestly thought he'd be way higher rostered or started in Mainz. I'm surprised by that. The dude's got some speed, hits for average, couple homers. That surprises me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been talking Brooks Baldwin the last few weeks anyway. So, regular listeners to the show know we kind of like him. I don't know. He hasn't been that great lately. Two homers, a steal, 260 batting average over the last month, but playing time's there, versatile in terms of position eligibility. They got to take him over Brian Rocchio, but
yes,
doesn't really say much.
Well, and for the like last 2 weeks of the season and actually the last week, if you want to maximize at bats, Brooks Baldwin's tremendous on those. You set your rosters Monday and Friday, you want to get as many at bats as possible. When guys all of a sudden sit for the weekend because their team clinched or something, Brooks Baldwin's tremendous for that flexibility.
Rocchio, Michael C says Rocchio has three more home runs than Sajacy over the last 30.
Nice.
Not gonna dispute that one.
It's probably going to stay that way, too, when Brendan Donovan comes back on Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Kobe Mayo, it's Hellman's. Hellman's the only Mayo I want to talk about, so Kobe's gone.
Yeah, Hellman has taken over the condiment crown. So, I don't know. Not too in on Kobe Mayo or
Nolan Jones,
who's next. So.
Yeah, I was passing him. Jordan Walker is a guy I know you've been more interested than me. I don't know if I just have so many biases against him, but 26% started, 38 at bats. He gets to play a ton. He's, he had a walk-off hit the other night. Just never has the power, I guess, I expect from him, but maybe he's doing enough to play. What are your thoughts on Mr. Walker?
No, I'm not. Did not start on Tuesday. So that, again, was after I made this board. So he may be even off this list. Did not start last Tuesday. So just gets an occasional day off. And then again, with your boy Donovan coming back. Just never. That's just I don't know. Just another body there. Last but not least, Jordan Walker's hitting 133 over the last month. So
that's the big part right there.
Tough scene.
More to the point, why is he started at
26%
of leagues?
Hey man, it's brutal out there. I'm telling you. I mean, these main event leagues are tough, man. Good God.
Ezekiel Duran, 11% started, 38 at bats. He was playing a ton. He's playing all over the diamond, playing first base and whatnot. It's still a lot of moving and shaking, but I'm worried the playing time's going to start disappearing. But maybe he sticks around because Simeon's out also.
Yeah, man. 8 steals this season. Like, if you're desperate in deeper leagues and you need bags, you could do it with Ezekiel Duran. How many – what's Texas looking at in terms of lefty-righty here? AL West, 6 righties next week. That's not great for Duran. So, yeah, you've got to be pretty desperate for Ezekiel. I always like Ezekiel Duran.
He's got no power this season, though. It's really weird.
Yeah.
I saw a stat. I think it was like today or yesterday. It was a full 365 days since his last home run. which seems insane because he was hitting them rather frequently last year, it felt like. So, really crazy. Adam Frazier losing playing time to Mr. Mount Massey. So, I got to move on from that one.
Mount Massey. Didn't Mount Massey break up a no-hitter this past week?
Yes. Yes, he did. He broke up a no-no. So, you got that going for you.
There you go.
All right, I want to talk Dom Smith. This is the dude I've been rostering in 15s and actually 112. I picked him up because I needed a replacement for Nick Kurtz while he was hurt. And I just kept Dom Smith. He actually came in this week when Joe Adell had vertigo. So that paid off. Dom Smith's gone to yard again. And Dom Smith plays against most righties. He still sits occasionally, but he's playing a ton and sneakily producing right now. So I want to give him a shout on that. He's 11% started in mains, 37 at-bats. I think there's a lot to like with Dom Smith down the stretch.
Sure.
Wow.
Homer. Wow. Homer pick.
Two lefties and five righties next week. That bodes well.
There you go. I will say, compared to some of these other scrubs, Dom Smith being 11% started in main seems a little low compared to the likes of Rokio, Sejacy, Kyle Karros. I'll give you that.
Good comeback. And then last but not least, Blake Perkins, 16% started, 36 at-bats. He's turning into a platoon guy. I actually dropped him in 12s recently.
Yeah, but again, it is a body who at least plays a little bit, going back to what we're talking about with Isaac Collins, like someone who may just eat into that, either directly or indirectly, eat into that Isaac Collins situation. So to kind of bring this full circle, that's maybe another reason to look for alternatives if you have Mr. Collins.
Definitely. All right, final thoughts before we get to some Discord questions. That's 45 players for you all in about 45 minutes. So
quick, that's pretty good, man. There.
Yep, went through most of it. Some interesting drop discussion. Neil Cruz, gone. Brian Rokio, start. Stuff like that. So where any final thoughts here?
Jordan Walker or O'Neal Cruz the rest of the way, Bubba?
Dude, bullet.
Don't say Jordan. Don't even think about it.
No, it's
don't
Cruz,
even hesitate.
It's Cruz, but good lord, like at least give me something. Dom Smith or O'Neal Cruz? Give me Dom Smith. It's bad.
No,
Dom Smith.
No, Cruz. Cool concept. Thanks again, Aaron, for coming up with this idea. I actually think we kind of hit the skids at the end there, trying to add some of these guys were horrendous, but I do think the drop / sit talk for some of these guys who are pretty widely started is at least somewhat actionable with 2 weeks as actionable as things can be with 2 weeks left in the season. I think this is it. And again, we'll be back Thursday with Fab for ads and schedules, of course.
I have two Discord questions here. Aaron Gifts has one because Ben Tidd just had a comment to help us with. Aaron says, who is the most at bats least started board? So the far right. That gets the most stolen bases the rest of the way. Probably Rokio.
Oh, man. I will go Brian Rokio or Curtis Meade.
I got Rokio or Brooks Baldwin. So, yes. I think it's Rokio, but yes. The mailman Mike says, who has the best chance of finding an everyday role from the least started list?
The best chance for an everyday role is certainly, I mean, Meade already kind of has one.
Same with Rokio.
Your guy, Dom Smith. I guess it's not every day if you're in a platoon, but there's not many.
Heriberto Hernandez.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite name on the right side of the board is Heriberto Hernandez.
Yeah. He can make a lot of noise in the power department, got a little bit of speed. Yep. This Marlins team, they're going to be a pesky pain in the butt, I think, the last 2 weeks of the season.
They're not that bad of a squad.
A lot of young guys that don't care, and they don't strike out as much as they used to, which is kind of crazy to think about. It's like, because you got Xavier Edwards, Jacob Marcy, Goose, Otto, the bus driver, Liam Hicks, Hernandez, Troy Johnson, Maximo Acosta, and Victor Mesa Jr., who we will talk about on Thursday night. Joey Weimer hit his second home run tonight. Like, they got a bunch of dudes that just don't care about your feelings, basically. And they're just going to go out there and ruin things. So,
very you had to throw a Maximo Acosta.
I was just reading the roster, Ryan. He's right there batting eighth for the Marlins. Can't help it.
Yeah, that's more than I don't read the damn roster. So,
all right, we're going to bounce on that note. Ryan doesn't read rosters. He just is a hell of a writer. Speculator comes out Wednesday. Go check it out. over at baseballhq.com. But a lot of fun stuff coming up, as Ryan said earlier in the show. It's been a lot of behind the scenes stuff. Pretty exciting. Pretty exciting stuff coming your guys' way after the season and into the offseason and into 2026. So hopefully you guys are ready, and it's all because you guys support us. So we will give back to you. So thank you. But until then, we'll be back with Fab on Thursday evening. Make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Antrick, and this is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 275. Catch y'all next time.